Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bill Banham, and in this episode, Chris Buehling and I talk with Josh Siegel about employer branding, recruitment, marketing, and employee advocacy. Hear Josh's experiences of developing employees so they grow and progress within the company. Listen too as we discuss why culture fit underlines all of these efforts. Josh is VP Organisational Effectiveness at Wave HQ, a Toronto-based tech company on a mission to propel brave entrepreneurs who choose to pursue their dreams. At Wave, Josh leads all things around learning development and talent acquisition. He's also the face of the company at many events and forums. Prior to joining Wave, Josh led the talent and culture strategy at Real Matters. In 4+ years, Josh helped shepherd the organization from a 150-person private company to a 1,000-employee organization listed on the TSX. Josh Siegel, welcome to the podcast.
It's a joy to be here. Hello to you, Bill and Chris.
Hello. It's glad to have you today.
Listeners, I've known Josh now for a few years, and I happen to know that he is a pretty awesome, incredible chap. Loads of energy, and he does lots of amazing things, both at work and in his personal life. My experience of you, Josh, is that, among other things, you're a face of Wave. You're always out there projecting the Wave brand. How important do you think it is that employee advocates project the company brand?
Well, firstly, I'll say that Wave has a much prettier face than I do. So that's definitive fact. But projecting the brand, I would say innately, it's just part of my job being in the world of talent acquisition. Really, there's so many incredible things happening here at Wave. But the key is really finding ways to amplify and project them to individuals who might one day be interested in working with us and becoming Wavers. I fundamentally believe our culture is one of the most powerful employee value props we have. So projecting that to those who aren't embedded and living our culture on a daily basis is absolutely integral for my function. But beyond my function of talent acquisition, the truth is I want every Waver to be proud of the place they work. And seeing others post online, act as employee advocates, that's a beautiful sign to me that people feel a sense of pride working with us.
Hey, Josh, drive home. How many of the things that you directly or indirectly work on that are extensions or representative of your employer brand to be a Waver? So talk about like job descriptions, recruitment, your training, how you share your news, et cetera.
Chris, I'd actually like to go a step further on that one and say literally everything we do, or in some cases don't do, is part of the employer brand. The what and how of everything Wave communicates ties into that overarching employment brand. So in marketing, we all know the power of word of mouth advertising. And I would say the same is absolutely true for employment branding. So if you follow that thread beyond what you do externally, which are a lot of the things that you articulated, the creating of job descriptions, how we recruit, all of that stuff, really everything we do, how we train or how we treat our employees, the experience that they have, the pride that they do or do not have working with Wave, all of that really wraps into employment branding. So I really look at it truly as a holistic combination of that external stuff where you have to be really thoughtful on how and what you communicate and the internal stuff on how you treat your employees and the experience that you give them.
Excellent. Excellent. I appreciate that. So in addition to your talent acquisition that you lead, you also help shape the learning and development efforts. So how important is your L&D to ensuring that the employees are engaged and being productive in your world and still representing your brand?
Well, since it's such an important part of my job, I'm going to say it's utterly important. But I'll give you a deeper and more thoughtful answer than that. For me, I really believe it's impossible to empower employees if they don't have the skills, knowledge, or information they need to effectively do the work that you're so-called empowering them to do. I think we can all agree there's few things in life as frustrating as trying to build something and not have the right tools for the task at hand. And I'm sure my wife would attest to that as we tried to build a bed frame a couple months back and didn't have the right screwdriver. Like, it's unbelievably frustrating. So a smart learning and development strategy helps mitigate some of these challenges. That being said, it's really freaking hard to do when your business is growing fast, scaling, and the challenges your org is facing on a regular basis are constantly changing. So I find to keep people engaged and productive, I believe you need a two-pronged approach to learning and development. First and foremost, you need macro training on the items required to be successful in your organization. So that should be kind of pervasive of whatever your job is. And this strategy should be centralized. So for us, it's a generic toolkit on what it takes to be successful at Wave, the shared behaviors, connection to the culture, all of that great stuff. And that macro strategy needs to be coupled with a micro strategy, driven by the various functional areas of the business that ensures that their team members are equipped with the functional skills to do their job really, really well. So I don't want to get in the way of our engineering leads or our risk leads or our product leads who are coming up with really smart technical and functional learning development strategies in their areas. And that beautiful meeting ground of those macro org strategies and the micro technical and functional strategies coming together, that's where you really win and really get some great learning and development happening.
Hey, Josh, just as a follow-up to that, in terms of L&D and curriculum mapping, how is training leaders, how is creating that training content for leaders different to training employees?
So Bill, I'm gonna upset you deeply and use a football analogy, but North American football, not your type of football.
Proper football.
And for me, it's not real football. I know. Sorry about this. But for me, it's like, look at Bill Belichick and look at Tom Brady. They fundamentally need different skills to be successful in each of their respective jobs. And for the football fans out there, like, there's definitely a Venn diagram where these two sets of skills overlap. And I think that's true in the corporate world as well. So embedding all employees with a leadership and ownership mindset, yeah, that's a great thing. There's a lot of value to add with that. But that being said, you would overemphasize that with folks in leadership positions and probably spend more time on the technical aspects of the work for individual contributors. So the key to me, at least, is a highly curated and nuanced approach. You need to be training the skills that will equip the respective members of your team with the skills needed to get your organization from where it is to where you want it to go. This will clearly be different for people leaders versus individual contributors. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, it'll probably be different for every single individual in your organization.
Wonderful stuff. I just love it. Can I be a waiver? Can I join? This is great things that I'm hearing from you, so I appreciate it. But let's just throw the bus into reverse for a second, and let's just go back to something that was mentioned in the intro. You previously came from Real Matters, where you led the talent and culture strategy. And in around 4 years, you helped the organization grow from 150 people in a private company to a 1,000-person organization listed on the stock market. So talk to us about your experience of the evolution of your workforce planning at Real Matters and what allowed that to happen well or maybe not well.
So we're stuck in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic right now. So my memory is not at its sharpest. I can barely remember what happened 5 minutes ago versus 5 years ago. But I'll do my best to share what I think is the biggest takeaway from my time at Real Matters and what helped us drive that. And I really think the one thing which was drilled into me more than anything else during my tenure at Real Matters was to always think about scale. If you're going to build something that could be a process, a tool, a capability, whatever it is, make sure it's built with the ability to scale. Otherwise, it's going to become obsolete very quickly in the world of fast growth. So that concept held very true when we thought about our strategic planning process. Back then, we had a ton of rigor and thoughtfulness built in to how we planned 3 years out and then reverse engineered back into what was most important for the quarter ahead. And in the early days, this was a highly centralized process. As we grew, we, through necessity, had to decentralize and empower areas of the business to own this process for themselves. And that's how we scaled the strategic planning process. As with everything, it's unbelievably scary to let go of it and not have full visibility to everything happening. But the reality is, if you want to scale, you need to trust in both your people and the process.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a couple of minutes now and focus on the recruitment process in the context of company culture and values first. Josh, what are some of the questions that you encourage hiring managers at Wave to ask in an interview in order to test that the candidate has the same values?
So I find it's very, very difficult to craft questions that position candidates to give a truly honest assessment to if they would be comfortable working within your organization's shared value system or system of shared behaviors. I really think to tap into that, you have to go the behavioral route. So the key is looking at your shared behaviors and then asking candidates to demonstrate examples from their past where they truly exhibited them. And I'll give you an example using one of Wave's shared behaviors, which is one that I love. It's the concept of caring deeply and challenging directly. So for that particular shared behavior, if we're chatting with a candidate, we can always ask them, when in your career did you have to deliver news that you knew would be unpopular? And how did you go about doing so? And watching the candidates give you that experience, talk about how they handled that, will give you insights into just how comfortable they are actually walking the talk on that particular shared behavior. So I really think unpacking how they've actually lived the values in the past will be truly the best indicator if they're going to align to them moving forward into the future.
That's excellent. So as you bring a new recruit on board, you talked a little bit about before and the pieces up there where you're kind of weaving it into your daily life, but how do you help new recruits, or how do you help new recruits and their managers help the new recruit fit into the company culture to kind of accept that branding that we talked about previously?
Great question, Chris. And you said the word fit. I actually don't love the word fit. I would prefer to say the word build upon, because ideally every new person you bring into your organization helps to contribute and enhance that company culture that you have. That being said, to do so, obviously, they need to know what they are building upon. So I'll use that to kind of frame the fit. The one thing that we do during onboarding at Wave, which I absolutely love, is walk all of our new hires through a series of commitments directly from our executive team. And these 8 codified commitments really showcase to every single new waiver what they can expect from leadership as they build their career and go through their journey with us at Wave. And I think having that down in writing, a place they can review anytime they want, sets the expectations right up front on the types of behaviors and what we're looking for from all waivers to help continue and build the beautiful culture that we have.
The Wave team is regularly winning awards. You guys have got a best in class Glassdoor rating, look at you, and a wonderful reputation in the industry. Creating a culture that is, well, it's a very nuanced thing to do, right? It's a very nuanced thing to do well, certainly. But building on what you've said so far in our chat today, if you had to give one piece of advice, Josh, to business leaders looking to foster an effective culture, where would you tell them to start?
So normally I'm pretty verbose and I love to give long-winded answers, and it's hard for me to be narrowed down to one, but I'm going to fight my normal Josh instincts, and I'll do better than just one piece of advice. I'll give you one simple word. And for me, that word is authenticity.
Brilliant. I think that's great. I think the word authenticity of just being real for everybody is a great thing. And that's come across to me as I've sat here and listened through everything you've been talking about. So whereas you like to be wordy, you summed it up extremely well with that. So thank you so much for that. Well, here, as we look to wrap up, we're asking each of our guests from a culture and people processes perspective, what does a high-performing company mean to you?
Wonderful question, Chris. more so now than ever, I feel there needs to be a duality to this concept of high performance. So first, clearly, it needs to encompass delivering on the organization's goals. Fundamentally, if you aren't doing that, you won't have an organization for long. That being said, in today's world, I do think that that needs to be coupled with a view on delivering a truly great employee experience. And if you can deliver on both of those big macro buckets, nailing the organization goals, great employee experience, then you can plan to survive and thrive as an organization for many, many years to come.
I think that's great. I totally agree in the employee experience. I think it's wonderful. So thank you for sharing that as well. Final question. How can we learn more about it?
That's an easy question. So I would say follow WaveHQ on all social media platforms, especially LinkedIn and Glassdoor, to learn more about what we're up to. And of course, feel free to connect with me directly on LinkedIn. I always love chatting about Wave or anything people and culture related.
I should just add, listeners, I've used Wave for one of my businesses, and it's very easy to use. So there you go. Just a bit of a user testimonial right there. Josh, you fantastic, wonderful fella. I'm sure I'll find an excuse for us to all get together and chat again soon. But for now, on behalf of myself, on behalf of Chris, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Gentlemen, always an absolute pleasure. Happy for round two, anytime you'd like.
Josh, this was just great. I appreciate your energy, your zeal, as well as the thoughtfulness of all that you're doing and you're thinking about. Where you and I align with a lot of that. You just got great energy about doing it, and I love it. And so keep carrying on. This is the right way to head, and it's exciting.
This podcast is supported by Fidelo Inc., a consulting firm specializing in improving human performance. Through their products and services, Fidelo helps clients design, develop, and implement strategic integrated human resource processes and systems. Learn more at fidelo.com. That's FIDELLO.com.